Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Hard dead or step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Hello? Michael? Well, this is one of those cases where my computer isn't cooperating, so I am not able to get online and open the switchboard. I'll keep trying. Hi there, Michael.
Hi.
Hello. Hey.
How are you?
Yes, we just had the experience of what happens when you can't get on the internet and you have a show that is live and you can hear it going live and you're not there. Oh, I surely needed some fearless thinking, didn't I?
Well, you had, to pedal pretty fast then, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. I could not get on through Explorer. I couldn't get on through Google Chrome. Oh, my goodness, it was frustrating. Okay, welcome, everyone, to Color Your Life Happy, no matter what happens.
That's right.
For Monday, July 13th, I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live, finally, from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is the first time this ever happened. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you and show you what you have to do when things don't go right. In a moment, we're going to begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Fearless Thinking, with my guest, Michael Price, who was so kind enough to stay on the line not knowing what was going on. Because I can't click you onto the line unless I'm on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I want to welcome all of my listeners who also stayed on the line. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us today. I encourage you to participate by asking questions, and you can do that by dialing in and pushing the #1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. Or you can go on the web chat where you can type in your questions, and then I can see them. Let me remind you, too, we've already had a demonstration of what can happen, that when the show is live, anything can happen. The most common one is lost signals. So if your call is suddenly lost and you can't hear anything, just hang up and dial in again. And don't worry about missing anything. All the shows are recorded, and they're available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, I'm Flora Brown again, author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of four and a grandma of three. I mention that because that's good training, too, for dealing with things. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels. The last 20 years I spent teaching critical thinking. If you haven't already done so, I want you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you can now invest in my book, soon to be on the stands for a special pre-release price if you get it before it hits the stands. It is full of stories, tips, activities, all of which will speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. Now, on the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To do that, each week I interview guests from different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, and so forth, all of which contribute to our happiness. Let's get to the amazing show we have for you today. Hi, Michael, again.
Hi, Flora.
Welcome.
I was hoping that I didn't do anything wrong, that
no.
I didn't dial the wrong number. Or.
I know, and it's frustrating because I didn't have your number handy to call you and tell you, it's not you, it's not you, it's me. I cut it too close to go online. I should have called a lot earlier. I didn't realize my internet was going to act crazy. Anyway, Michael is creator of a program called The Courage of Fearless Thinking, and he's author of a book called Fearless Thinking. Now, he's had a wide and varied background. He's been a professional baseball player, a police officer, an insurance fraud investigator, and a private investigator, as well as a college baseball coach. On his speaking side, he's gotten a lot of practice and experience as a member of Toastmasters International and the National Speakers Association. I'm so happy to welcome you today, Michael, and thank you for agreeing to come online.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
I have a few questions for you. I'm sure everybody else is thinking the same thing. What is fearless thinking? Tell us about that.
Well, fearless thinking, my belief, my thought is that any time that we're not moving forward in our business or our personal life, it's because of some form of fearful thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Something is holding us back. Something is not allowing us to pursue our dreams and our passions. And fearless thinking, the program and the book, is about, number one, becoming aware of our thought process, and then number two, taking control of those fear thoughts and turning them into fearless thoughts that then give us the opportunity to move forward into our passion and into our purpose and into our goals.
So you're saying whenever we perhaps hesitate to do something, no matter what excuse we give for it, it's probably out of fear?
Yes, yes, correct. This is assuming that this is something that we really want to do. This isn't a whimsical thought.
Okay.
This is something that we want to do. We want to create, let's say, for example, we want to create a new life for our family.
Okay.
And in order to do that, we think the best way to do that is to start a business, whether it's a part-time business, a network business, a brick-and-mortar business, whatever that happens to be for the individual.
Mm-hmm.
We really want to do that. We see the value of it, and we know that it will help our family right now, and it will create a legacy for our children and our grandchildren. So that's
mm-hmm.
something that we really want to do, but
mm-hmm.
if we're not doing it, there's fear holding us back.
Hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So using the same example that you've given, if someone feels, let's say, that this business would be the answer, and they attempt it, let's suppose, well, you're saying they may even be afraid to get started because of fear of failure.
Yes.
or whatever, or maybe they don't have enough knowledge about it and they need to investigate it. I often think that if your eventual goal, let's say, is to get your family more secure, it may be that that business isn't the way to do it, but you can't find that out until you try it.
Yes,
or you,
correct.
So you learn more about it.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
There may be other options available, but if this is a passion, if this is something that is driving the person's thought, that pops into their head multiple times per day,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that they really want to pursue,
mm-hmm.
then if they're not pursuing it, there's some form of fear thought mm-hmm. that is keeping them from pursuing it. Now, obviously, we all have been around for a while, and we've all tried and worked at and explored different things in our life, and we found that once we got involved with them, it really wasn't what we had planned it to be. It really wasn't
right.
what we thought it would be.
Right.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, oh, time out, this isn't what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm looking for is something similar to this, but not exactly this. So there's nothing wrong with moving to another passion pursuit,
mm-hmm.
but if we're not moving toward what we believe is our passion right now and pursuing it right now, then there's some form of thought, of fearful thought. Now, I know you talk a lot about critical thinking, right?
Yes.
Yes. So when somebody gets into a business and they start to say, uh-oh, this isn't quite what I thought it was,
uh-huh.
if they go through that critical thinking process, then they will decide whether it is a fear thought that's keeping them from pursuing it further,
uh-huh.
or it actually is indeed the wrong pursuit for them, and it's now time to cut that loose and then move on
uh-huh.
to something that has more passion for them.
Okay, yeah. I think that a lot of times people want to be in a certain career, a certain business, because they really have only looked at the outside glamour part of it.
Yes.
Or maybe some benefit. Let's say many people have said to me, you should be a lawyer. And I said, no, I shouldn't. Because I already know that, number one, I don't want to invest the time and energy and money to go to law school.
Mm-hmm,
number two,
mm-hmm.
I don't see that as my passion. I see aspects of it that would be interesting, but
mm-hmm.
that's not my passion. So to go to law school because people think I can make a lot of money there or whatever reason, that would be foolish, because the eventual money, isn't worth going through something that's not your passion.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I think a lot of us from the old days anyway entered careers because our parents said we had to enter those careers, or they were the only ones acceptable in our families. And
mm-hmm.
That got us into a lot of trouble. And
yes.
I met a man who was who is a dentist, but I saw him at a floral
mm-hmm.
show, where he does these gorgeous upscale floral designs,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
that's what he wanted to do, but his father was a dentist, and his father said, you have to be a dentist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he became a dentist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
And he's a successful dentist, but he also loves, his passion is floral design, and he's internationally famous for it. So he was one of the people that kind of straddled the fence
mm-hmm.
and did both things. But so many people get stuck into whatever career their parents or whatever forced them into,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and they have miserable lives, and it's sad.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely
sad.
Is sad.
Yeah. What is the impetus for you starting Fearless Thinking? What is the background that led up to this?
Well, actually, it started years and years ago when I was in high school.
Okay.
I identified, even in high school, I identified that I wasn't living up to my potential.
Wow.
See, I was a professional baseball player for a number of years, and I signed a professional baseball contract right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So in high school, I was a pretty gifted pitcher. I was a left-handed pitcher, could throw the ball very hard, and had a lot of movement on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
For all of your listeners who know anything about baseball, being a left-handed pitcher who can throw the ball hard and has a lot of movement, that is really, really good. That is something that major league teams look for.
Yes.
And so I was fortunate enough to sign a contract. But even in high school, I knew that I wasn't living up to my potential. I knew that I had more. I knew that I could be better. And yet throughout my high school career, throughout my professional career, I didn't live up to my potential. And I couldn't, it was frustrating because I couldn't figure out why. What is holding me back? Why am I not just taking this gift, these gifts and the talents that I have and just running with them? What's going on? And so it took years and years and years of self-help seminars and reading books and examining my own life, examining my own thoughts. And it finally came to me that it was a matter of fear thoughts. Fear of success, fear of failure. People hear that all the time, fear of success, fear of failure, and we hear it so often that it loses a lot of its meaning. But in my 1 and 2 day programs, I talk a lot about fear of success and fear of failure and what does that mean and how does that look in our life. Well, for me, in high school, I was afraid to succeed and afraid to fail. If I tried really, really hard and I didn't succeed, what does that say about me and my talent? So you don't try as hard. If I try really, really hard and I actually do make it and I make a success, then all of my friends aren't going to like me. My friends aren't going to come along with me. My friends are going to put down my success. Right? And so those kind of thoughts don't make any sense cognitively. They don't make any sense logically, but it hooks up emotionally as they're going to leave, my friends are going to leave me, or if I don't live up to it, where are my talents really at? So it's the emotional thing that keeps us from being the person we're supposed to be, using the gifts and talents and pursuing the passion that we're supposed to pursue. So that's actually where the impetus was, way back in high school, but it took a while for it to ferment long enough for me to put this program together.
Well, you touched on something that I think blocks us all, and that is worrying about what your friends think and your relatives. What do you recommend that people withhold the details of their dreams from their friends and relatives, or should you be just selective about who you discuss these things with?
My personal opinion is that you are selective.
Okay.
And you select the people that can help you go after your dream, people that have some additional information, some mentors, some people that perhaps they have some way, some skill, some talent to direct you to how to achieve your dreams. It's sad to say, but friends and relatives oftentimes hold us back, and it's not necessarily that they're meaning to hold us back. Sometimes it is. But oftentimes our parents don't want to see us get hurt.
And
so they hold us back. They say, oh, baby, don't do that. Oh, honey, don't do that. It's too hard. It's too much work. You can't do this. You can't do that. And it comes from perhaps a loving thought, but it's really a destructive thought.
And it's their fear.
It's their fear. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. It's their fear. They don't want to see us get hurt. And so my personal opinion is you only share those things with people that can help you move in that direction.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've told people that before, too, that you do have to be very selective because, unfortunately, the people closest to you sometimes are just ready to dash those dreams. And if you listen to them, I mean, what they're saying may, like you say, be well-intended, but it's not true about you, and it's not something that you could do anything about anyway. There's danger in everything, and we just have to proceed with caution.
Absolutely.
I think listening to family and friends can be very dangerous, and many times I've just not even shared stuff with certain relatives. I just proceed. Next thing they know, I finished something, and then they said, you didn't tell me you were going to do that. No, I didn't. I certainly didn't.
That's right. Well, one of the other things about that is that when we share them with friends, even though our friends may say they want us to succeed, when we're pushing forward and we're moving forward and we're making things happen in our life, a lot of times what happens with our friends is they get really uncomfortable because as you're moving forward, that means that they need to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not moving forward, then they start to attempt to hold you back. Now, this isn't something that they sit down and they think it out and they write it out and they put it on paper.
No.
This is an emotional thing.
Yes.
Uh-oh, Flora's taken off and leaving me. Uh-oh, I either better start changing and improving my life, or I'm going to lose her as a friend. So what am I going to do? I'm going to say, oh, Flora, you got to be kidding me. You can't do that. You can't do the radio. You can't write the book. You can't go out and speak. What are you doing that for? Right?
Yes, exactly. And I was thinking, as you were speaking about a situation exactly like that, that has happened many times to women in particular who've gone back to the doctoral program.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a young lady who went to the doctoral program, and at first her husband, they had two children, was very supportive. You know, he encouraged her, he thought it was great, and he babysat the kids while she went to school at night because she worked during the day and she was going to school at night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the first semester, she told me that when she enrolled in the second semester, he says, Are you going back to school this semester? Now, you know you can't finish a doctorate in one semester. And she said, of course, you know, it's a long haul. And he became increasingly non-supportive that second semester. And by the third, he was so annoyed that he told her she was going to have to make a choice.
Mm.
It was either going to be him or the doctorate, because he stopped keeping the kids. He told her he just had too much to do. He couldn't do it. He just became, you know, totally obstructionist. And so she had to make a choice, and she chose the doctorate. But many times you get into situations where people start off supporting you because it sounds wonderful. But as they begin to see that you're serious, I think sometimes they don't think you're serious, so they figure in a semester or a few months, you know, you'll drop it and come be back to your normal.
Yes, right.
So sometimes as you go along, you begin to lose support. And that's where
absolutely.
Your fearless thinking really needs to kick in.
It really needs to kick in there, because you're dealing with somebody that's really intimate with you and intimate with your life, and you have kids together.
Yes.
And it's easy then to go into this great fear battle in our thoughts. One of the things that I talk quite a bit about in my one-day seminars and my two-day seminars, and actually I mentioned it a fair amount in my book, Fearless Thinking, which, by the way, should be published by the end of this month or the first week in August.
Woohoo!
Yes, hooray, hooray.
Oh, you're probably going to beat me. I think mine's – I was hoping it would be out in June, but it's going to be August.
I know how it is. You know, you have a deadline, and then things happen. And
that's right, life happens.
Just takes a little bit longer. So
cool.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. But anyway, in the book and in the presentations, and even in my thought of the week, I mentioned this as well, about agendas.
Mm-hmm.
Everything outside of our own head is somebody else's agenda.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everything outside of our own head is somebody else's agenda. So when we're married to somebody, even though we've been married for 10, 15, 20, 50 years, and we have children, and we have our own jobs, everything outside of my own head is still somebody else's agenda.
Yes.
And so our spouses have their own agendas.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friends have their own agendas. And it doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. It just means that we need to understand that. And when we're in a relationship similar to what you spoke about just a couple of moments ago, it's a little easier to start identifying and going through the critical thinking process in those really emotional situations like you just described, when we start to understand that even though she'd been married to this guy for a number of years, apparently, he has his own agenda. He has his own fears. He has his own things that are holding him back from being the person he wants to be. He has those things where he's looking at her and saying, uh-oh, she's changing, and if she changes, what does that mean to me and my family, the kids?
Yes.
And so he has his own agenda. that's well and good, and as long as we understand that everything is fine and it helps us move into the critical thinking process, which then moves us towards a reasonable solution.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we continue to think about that situation in fearful thoughts,
yes,
it moves us to a solution that doesn't necessarily fit the situation.
Yeah, unfortunately. Now, who benefits most from fearless thinking? What kind of person benefits most?
Actually, I work with a lot of individuals. I work with small businesses, network marketing businesses as well. I work with several, currently I'm working with several large corporations,
uh-huh,
doing trainings for their employees. I work with associations. I work with churches. I work with sports teams. As a matter of fact, I don't recall if you mentioned, but I'm an assistant baseball coach at Azusa,
uh-huh,
Pacific University.
Oh, okay.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and 3 years ago, our team finished half wins, half losses.
Mm.
The following year, I implemented the Fearless Thinking program with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, at the end of the year, our record was 51 wins and 5 losses.
Wow.
Yeah, and
that's
went to the
huge
World Series for the first time in 23 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's really about taking control of our thought process.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we're playing sports, we're actually doing our job out in front of people, out in front of the public, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it would be similar to you and I doing our job. Of course, you do part of your job. I do part of my job in front of the public as well because they come,
yes,
to listen to our presentations.
Yes.
But imagine working in an office and you have 15, 20, 30, 50 people standing,
uh-huh,
around your cubicle and watching you do your job.
Mm.
That's what sports is.
Yes, yes.
We're there as fans watching them do their job.
Yeah.
Well, when they're doing their job, they have to perform. And what happens in their thought process when they don't perform is critical. What happens,
yes,
in their thought process when they're under pressure that they absolutely have to do something right this moment. They have,
mm-hmm,
to succeed right this moment.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between succeeding and not succeeding is the thought process that they have. So I really,
mm-hmm,
teach these young ballplayers how to start using their thought process to allow those natural gifts and talents to come out and give them the best chance to succeed at that, mm-hmm, particular moment.
Right. I would think that the top players in all sports are people who have mastered that control of their thinking.
Absolutely.
Because it's impossible for the regular ones of us who don't play sports to even imagine the pressure that they're under. I mean, here you're about to hit a ball or in the Olympics, here you're competing,
mm-hmm,
not only for yourself but for your country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everybody you're competing against is excellent. They're all excellent as well,
yeah,
as you are. The tremendous pressure has to be just something we can't even imagine. And like you say, you're in front of the world. Sometimes you only have one chance,
mm-hmm,
at,
mm-hmm,
it, no matter how many years,
yeah,
it took you to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's to me, the ultimate use of your fearless thinking,
yes,
process.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So I work with all of those kinds of organizations, and it's really about helping people identify what their thoughts are,
uh-huh,
that are holding them where they are,
hmm,
and to take control of those thoughts, because we do have control of our thoughts. We just haven't,
yes,
been taught how to take control of them.
Yes.
And one of the things I say in my presentations, my 1 and 2 day presentations, and I also mention it quite a bit in the book, is that we don't have control over what pops into our head,
uh-huh,
but we have control of how long it stays there. Right? So, for
you
example,
you can show at the door faster.
That's right. That's right. We all have stuff in our life that pops back into our head, right? We,
yes,
have things that occurred to us a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever the case may be, and it pops back in periodically.
Uh-huh.
Well, what happens with a lot of people, probably most people, is that they spend a lot of time refocusing, reliving that event that just popped back into their head.
Uh-huh.
And the fearless thinking process is taking control of that thought and say, that's over, it's done, I have no control over it, let me move on. And I grab that thought, I put it away, and I move on with what's going on right now.
That's a great skill to be able to develop. Now, how is fearless thinking delivered? So if someone's listening and they're thinking, whoa, I need to attend that seminar. You have seminars?
Do you do
coaching? What are the ways that you deliver your program?
Yes, I have live seminars. I have one-day and two-day events.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to the website. It's fearlessthinking.com,
okay.
fearlessthinking.com.
Okay.
And there will be a list of live seminars, 1 days and 2 days. I also have a couple of other seminars that I have scheduled, and they'll see that on the website as well. And that's about cold calling for the people that are in the sales business.
Yes.
That need
yes.
to be able to pick up the telephone and make cold calls.
And get rejected and then pick it up again.
See, and that's part of the fearless thinking process. What do you do with that when somebody slams the phone down in your ear?
You say next, the next number.
There you go. That's right.
Now, what makes fearless thinking different from some of the other programs that are out there?
Well, a lot of the programs that I went to when I was doing my own search about how do I live up to my own potential,
mm-hmm.
I got really excited at them. There was a lot of emotion. There was a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But when I left the next day or 2 or 3 days later, I thought to myself, you know, that was good energy, good emotion, but how do I use this?
Mm-hmm.
How do I take this information and implement it in my life? And so the Fearless Thinking Program is a lot less about the emotional hype
mm-hmm.
and really about awareness, identification, and then tools. How do you do this when you walk out of this room? How do you start taking control of the thought process?
Mm.
How do you change your focus? And so the Fearless Thinking is really about how to take those tools and start using it so that when you walk out of the room, you can use it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other ways that I deliver my program is through coaching. And
okay.
so I'll sit down with people and I'll walk them through a process by asking them questions, helping them to identify where their thoughts are, where their focus is, where their intentions are around the challenges in their life and where
uh-huh.
they want to go in their life.
Uh-huh.
And so the personal coaching part of it is really a very good way to get a good handle on it. If you don't mind, let me give you a story.
Okay, sure.
A woman that I have done some coaching with was chronically disorganized. That was when she came to me, she said, I have to get a handle on this. I am just disorganized. It's causing me problems in my home life, with my kids, with my husband. It's caused me terrible problems with my business because she couldn't find business cards. She didn't follow up effectively. And if you're in the sales business and you don't follow up, you're going to lose the sale, right?
Yes.
So she was having really challenges with that. As I started the coaching process with her, it only took a couple of coaching sessions for her to identify what the problem was, the underlying problem for the disorganization.
Mm-hmm.
And that underlying problem had absolutely nothing to do with business, had absolutely nothing to do with her husband, had absolutely
uh-huh.
nothing to do with her children, and it had everything to do with some stuff in her past.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so once she identified what that was, we walked through a critical thinking process.
Okay.
And she designed then a different way to look at, a different way to think about her organization or lack of organization, as the case may be.
Uh-huh.
And 8 months later, she had quintupled her business.
Wow.
As a result of getting control of the disorganization. And she got control of it by taking control of her thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
so, yes, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It points out the fact, too, that whatever is causing us problems on the surface now is probably... was created by something else
yeah.
in
yes.
the background, in the past, and
yes.
it's not just a surface matter. And it, like you say, it may not have anything to do with the other people
yes.
around
absolutely.
Us, even though we may like to blame them. But they're pretty
yes,
handy
we do.
For they're pretty handy for blaming.
Yes,
know?
We yes they are.
But that was a great example because the listeners may be thinking, well, I have a problem with this, this, or that. And as you pointed out, it may not take a lot of sessions to get at the heart of the problem, and then you can begin to do something to create
yes.
something that's to do it a different way.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
What are some of the most requested subjects that people ask when they ask you to speak to, let's say, organizations or their companies?
Well, now one of the really hot topics is the idea of the poor economy mindset.
Okay.
A lot of businesses, small businesses and large businesses, just get caught up in all of the hype about the poor economy, the poor economy, the poor economy. And it's interesting that the more we hear about it, the more we talk about it, the more we focus on it, and the more we focus on it, the more it magnifies and intensifies, just like any other kind of focus.
Yes.
And so when we're always thinking about it, guess what we're really doing? We are continuing to create the poor economy mindset. Now, I have a whole program that I do on that, but that's one of the real hot subjects. Another one is overwhelm.
Mm.
Everybody nowadays is overwhelmed, especially with a lot of businesses cutting back and laying off employees. The remaining employees have to take up the slack.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And so if they were overwhelmed before, now they're really overwhelmed.
That's right.
So what do you do with that? What's the thought process? What do you do with that? And then one of the other subjects is change. And change is really difficult for about 99% of the people.
Oh, my goodness.
And so change is a big, real big subject.
And you know what? That's interesting because you say it's 99% of the people, because change is the one constant.
Yes.
In our lives, there's
yes.
going to be change, and yet you're saying people have difficulty with handling change when it comes about.
Yes, absolutely. In a logical sense, everybody knows that change is the one constant. You know, in our intellect,
yes.
we understand that.
Yes.
But in our emotional makeup, we don't like change because change means fear. How does it mean fear? I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm going to change, but I'm not sure what's going to happen when I change. I'm not sure what my life will be like. I'm not sure what my relationship will be like with my loved ones. I'm not sure what my job will be like, et cetera. You just kind of fill in the blanks. So on an emotional level, we want to stay where we are because we know what to expect.
Right.
We know that we can handle whatever our life is right now. We may not like it, but we know we can handle it and we can deal with it. But if we change, we're not sure.
Now,
what.
Do you think it matters if we initiate the change versus changes that are just thrust upon us in terms of how we handle it?
I don't think so, not from an emotional standpoint.
Okay.
There might be a thought or cognitive difference, but not from an emotional standpoint. The emotional standpoint, it's still change. It still equals fear. It still equals, I don't know if I'm going to be good enough to handle it. I'm not sure that I'm articulate enough, smart enough, talented enough, whatever the case may be, to deal with this new change in my life. So let's just stay where we are right now. We're just doing fine. We'll hang out here for a while.
The reason I ask that is because I agree with you. I remember when I was so looking forward to moving to my new home 20 years ago, but it also meant getting new school, so the kids knew everything because I moved like 45 miles away.
Yes,
so there was no running back to my old anything. And having to find new everything was the first time in my life I ever had to do that, because before I had just moved short distances.
Oh, yeah.
And I was surprised at having a panic attack. I was surprised when it happened, because I was doing so much, and it all was about finding new this and new that. And
yes,
even though
absolutely.
I was happy with my move, it was just it hit a wall when I was like overwhelmed with all of these changes.
Yes, absolutely, and that was something that you wanted.
Yes.
Right? You wanted.
Yes.
That move. You wanted that change, and yet still emotionally. All that stuff hooks up with us. And, you know, we get that stuff when we're little kids. It's just part of the grown-up process.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. I was happy with that. I mean, I improved my life tremendously. I love my neighborhood, but it still was change.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
And at some level, it just went into scary mode, and it took me a while to get out of it.
Yeah, and it's not a logical thought process.
No,
it's not a cognitive thing. It's an emotional thing.
Yeah.
And so once we identify the emotion, then we can start to take control of it.
Yeah. Oh, we're about to run out of time since we started late. So I'm going to say thank you so much, Michael, for joining me today. I want to encourage everyone to visit Michael's website, fearlessthinking.com.
Yes.
And take advantage of the various services he offers and look for his book. Right after you buy my book, you want to buy his book.
There you go. And please sign up for my Thought of the Week. Please
sign up for my Thought of the Week. I love it. I get it every Sunday night, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I'm your host, everyone, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show that's designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I want to encourage all of you to take what Michael has shared and use it to empower your life. If you need additional help, coaching, go over to his site and take advantage of the opportunity to help yourself. Don't try to do it alone because it hasn't worked so far, now has it? So you want to go over and get the help that's available, and it'll make such a huge difference in your life. So have a blessed week, everybody, and remember to color your life happy.